First of all, turn in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. We're talking about conflict resolution. We're talking about getting along. And look at what this first verse says. If it is possible, as much as liveth in you, live peaceably with all men. That is phenomenal. First of all, it tells us that you can't live possibly with everybody. That's just a fact of life. But we should never use that as an excuse for ourselves to be unpeaceable. We are to be characterized by peace. We are to do everything in our power to live peaceably. Now, this is even when we're out about our normal activities of the day, and we are paying for services, and the services are crummy. You understand it? It would include that. This is no time to lose our testimony. Yet it seems in Christendom, at least in American Christendom, that those types of situations, oh, it's okay. No, it is not okay. If it is possible, then you and I are commanded to live peaceably with all men and leave it in the Lord's hands. I don't have time to go further on that verse. When we're trying to resolve conflict, interpersonal conflicts, one of the important, there's actually a couple verses that, the one, I don't know how I missed it on the handout, because there are two verses I start with in my own mind and in my interactions with others. If it is at all possible, I share them. If in some situations it's not, I remind myself of these truths. The first one is found in Proverbs 18:13. Turn there in your Bible, Proverbs 18:13. It says very clearly, he that answereth a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. What does that say about our interactions with others if we're trying to resolve a conflict? It says you ought to be quiet or simply ask questions and listen. Do your level best to seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Seek to understand before you seek to be understood. The mere fact, if you do that genuinely, that is so disarming in a conflict. If you will go out of your way to just try your level best to see it from their perspective, even if that may not reflect well on you. It just diminishes the conflict because they say, whoa, you're different. Now, I want you to note something else a little bit later in that same verse, that chapter, two verses later. It says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. In other words, when you hear only one side of a story, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. What is it saying? The basic message here in its context is saying that when you listen to what the other person says is the issue, if he is talking about a situation that involves somebody else, you might be wise, in fact, as you are wise, to wait until you hear the other side of the story before you draw any final conclusions. It is fascinating how two people can see the same thing from totally different perspectives. And having both sides of it is very, very, very helpful. Now, the two verses that I meant, but not that one. Proverbs 18:13 and Proverbs 28:13. That's not written down there, but it should have been. Proverbs 28:13 says the first one says, if I am the one coming to a conflict, I need to be smart enough to listen first, not talk first. Those of you that are parents, the one thing that I look back now, you know, I'm a grandparent now. I'm no longer parenting, I'm grandparenting. The one thing that I look back on and I say, you know what, one mistake I made repetitively was drawing my conclusions before I even heard their story. Because they're my child. I knew what they were doing and I knew why they did it and I had it all figured out. The case was heard, it was judged, And I even had the verdict and all the sentencing all done before I ever heard the story in some cases. Shame on me. But there's another part of it. Proverbs 28:13 says, total flip on this. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. On the one side, I'm a fool. I will give foolish counsel if they tell me bad or untruths. You understand what I'm saying? If I'm sitting down with somebody and they tell me a bunch of lies, they should not expect anything other than bad counsel because I have bad data. Okay, so that's a responsibility for me as the one who's listening. But I'll tell you what, Proverbs 28:13 says that if you're a believer and you're about telling lies, you better be careful because God doesn't appreciate that. And there is a reckoning ahead. Okay, I'm going to quickly go through some of these others that I find is helpful. Sometimes they're helpful to bring up when you sit down with another person you're struggling with. Many times there are things that I read over before I go sit down with somebody. As a pastor, one of the things you get to do a lot is go into situations that are reasonably hot, if you understand what I'm saying. There's a lot of emotion going on. This next one is a fascinating one. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken, and that's the part, the second half of 23. A word spoken in due season, how good is it? You know what that says to me? Although I have a lot of thoughts and I have a lot of quick answers, it has to be at the right time. You gotta wait. Sometimes you just need to say, you know what? I'm gonna take it in and we're gonna pray about it and we're gonna talk about it at another time because you can sense. Have you ever been with somebody where you can sense that they're not open for any advice anyway? Ever been in those situations? And you know what? When I have been in those situations and I've kept talking, I can rarely remember a good outcome. It only gets worse. Where I have learned the value, I wish I practiced it absolutely consistently, but I have intellectually, I have learned that many times it is wise just to wait and choose the right time, the right setting. And that takes patience. It also takes trust in a sovereign God. As an example, I'll share an example for you. My older brother, I've had a burden for his soul for a long time. And initially in my own zeal for Christ, after coming to Christ, I was so assertive in my witness that he severed our family relationships for 5 full years until I asked for forgiveness. I went to him and said, you know what? I was a little wrong. I was wrong in what I was saying, the way I was saying it. I got right with him in that regard. And since then, we've been rebuilding a relationship. Well, can you imagine this? Here I am. I'm 61. He's 64. He calls me up this week at an absolutely horrible time for me. I had been out of town, as you know, and I come back into town and I have a lot. Don't you, you know, when you go away, you know, it doesn't like you come back to an empty things to do list. The things to do list triples or quadruples or something like that. And I get a phone call from my brother. And he says, you know what? Wonder if you want to play golf with me this afternoon. He hasn't done that. I cannot remember when he has ever done that. He probably plays golf a couple times, you know, every week, if not more. But he has never invited me to play golf with him. It was horrible timing. Horrible. But I'll tell you what I did. I went golfing. And then would you imagine this country club demanded that no one would use their cell phone, That was, I thought, unreasonable request. But you couldn't have your cell phone. But my point is, there are seasons of time, and we need to be very sensitive to them. And when God opens the door, that's the right time to talk. There's a difference than trying to do it on our schedule. From Ephesians chapter 4:15, there's a couple principles that I find in that. But speaking the truth in love, that's a participle of talking about actively talking with another. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Speaking the truth in love. We got to make sure we have the right attitude. It isn't a holier than thou attitude if we're witnessing. It isn't a condescending attitude if someone else has fallen into sin. You know what? I do not see any value in talking down to someone who has sinned. None. I am heartbroken that they find themselves in that situation. I let God do the judging. I'm much more interested in connecting and helping them go forward in their life and honoring the Lord and thinking differently. So we got to check our attitude, because I'm telling you, it is really easy to be judgmental. Is it not? It's really easy to do that. Shame on us. Speaking the truth in love. That is agape love. Agape love is defined as selfless. Sacrificially giving of yourself to meet the needs of another without any expectation of a return that is a benefit to you. You're just doing it because you love God. And it's normally costing you something. The other one, speaking the truth in love. You know, we got to choose our words. They really do need to be accurate. They don't need to have adjectives that add force to the message, because we need to get through to this hard-headed. You know, you don't understand what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you get so frustrated and you just want to. It doesn't go anywhere. As a matter of fact, where it goes is the wrong direction. We've got to continue to just remember God is sovereign. We have the privilege of being His instrument. But by the grace of God, it would be us that would be in the sin. You recognize that? That's a humbling truth. Now, in our midst here, in our culture, in this neighborhood, our type of ministry, I work with a lot of people that get caught up in addictions. Based on my testimony, I just had a background check done. Came back clean, right, Lori? Clean. No records, nothing. But I know in my own life, there was a time when I was doing a lot of things I ought not to have done. And I could have easily, if God would have allowed it, before I was saved, to be caught up and have a life-dominating sin that would, alcohol could have easily consumed me. But by God's grace, why should I be prideful? It wasn't me. It was the mercy of God that didn't allow me to get caught up in that. Because I surely immersed myself in it adequately enough to be there. Well, that's my point. Choose our words carefully. They ought to be gracious words. Now, 1 Peter 4:8 tells us another important truth. Not every battle do we need to win. Do we need to make right? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, this profound statement is made. Above all things, have fervent charity among, and charity, love. You know, I'm reading from the King James here. Charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. What is that saying? A lot of times it doesn't require our judging it. It requires us lovingly reaching out to the other individual and just going forward. You know, why don't certain people do this in their Christian walk? The answer is I don't know. Sometimes it is right to go to them and rebuke them for their choices. But many, many, many more times it's effective to go to them out of love and ask how you can help instead of judging them. There's power in just reaching out in a gracious spirit. Time has flown. James chapter 1, verse 5, that talks about prayer. There's a lot of times when the smartest thing you can do, some of you know this. Some of you have come to me with your situations, and I've honestly said to you, I don't have a clue what to do. I hate to say that. I wish I had answers to everybody's problems. But I don't. But I know one thing that we could do together. And in many, many cases we've done this. Other people could give testimony to this. We can go to the throne. We say, Lord, I don't understand why it's going this way. I don't understand why the individual doesn't respond. I don't understand why this circumstance has happened. I don't understand. But I know you know. And I know one thing, that in the midst, as painful as it may be, He still wants me and He wants you to respond in such a way that He gets the glory. And you know what? In the midst of tragedies, tremendous losses, our trust and peace that can only come from God is a phenomenal testimony of His glory. Colossians chapter 3, I want to challenge you to read 14, 15, 16, and 17. I'm going to give you the words, and then I'm going to read those four verses. The first one talks about, in regards to conflict resolution, demonstrate love. We are to be known by our love. So that is number 7 in your list. Demonstrate love. Number 8 is radiate the peace of God in the midst of it. Boy, isn't this a passage that's powerful? Wait until I read it. Use the Word as your guide. Not the life of your dad or your mom or your own personal experiences. To the extent that you can, wherewithal shall a young person cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word. The Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word is to be a lamp and a light unto our path. Let's use the Word. And number 10 is always purpose to bring honor to our God. Now I'm going to go through it, these fill in the blanks. Pam reminds me often that I give out these handouts with words to fill in, and then I race through it and there's no chance anyone could have ever filled it in, and that's very frustrating. So I'm going to try to take away the frustration. Blank number 1 is get your facts right. Number 2, choose the time carefully. Number 3, control your attitude. Number 4, choose your words carefully. Number 5, love should hide many issues. Number 6, pray for wisdom. Number 7, demonstrate love. Number 8, radiate peace, the peace of God. And number 9, use the Word as your guide. And number 10, always purpose to bring honor to God. And I'm going to close by reading Colossians chapter 3. Please turn there. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Colossians chapter 3. But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. It is to be so ruling that it radiates from us. 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are to speak out with the Word. We're to sing the Word. We're to live the Word. Because the Word is powerful. And number 17. And whatever, now that's very broad. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know what? Forget everything else I said, and if you'll do what verse 17 says, you'll be a blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege of gathering tonight. I thank You for the many requests. I recognize that somehow or another we forgot to put Jerry Heim on this list. I pray for Brother Jerry. He continues to struggle with some pain in that new knee that he has received. Pray for his quick healing. We pray that there would not be any problems with infections or any of those other issues that could be coming his way. I pray that You would heal him and get him back in our midst and back in the ministry like he so wants to do. And for others, Father, I know I'm forgetting others that should also be brought before You, but we just pray that You know their needs. We pray that You would watch over them. We thank You for the fact that You have promised that You didn't even know the hairs on our heads. What a humbling thought. We thank You, Father, for all of this. We thank You for everyone that's here. And we ask You to help us to go. And in everything that we do, to bring You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.